today God has laid a different set of verses on my heart. And I shared with the earlier service, I know this is we're still pre-Easter. Okay, I realize that. And I realize what I'm going to be talking about this morning is more a post-Easter subject. However, this particular event in Mark 6 was pre-Easter. But we're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to celebrate Palm Sunday next week, and we're going to have a Good Friday service and communion that night, and we're going to celebrate Easter, and we're going to do that. We're going to celebrate Easter. But today, God has laid a different set of verses on my heart. And this is one of these set of verses that I know I've read a lot of times, and I know that you've been in the Bible too, and I know that you've read some things over and over, and finally something just hits you that God really speaks to you. And that's the way this set of verses was for me as I read it a couple of weeks ago. And so it has to do with commissioning His disciples, okay? So you can turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 6 if you have your Bible. Or you can take that pew Bible and you can turn in there to Mark chapter 6, or you can watch on the big screen. But it has to do with Him commissioning His disciples. And of course we know of the Great Commission from Matthew 28:19-20, when Jesus, post-resurrection, said to His disciples, "Go therefore now and make disciples." We know that. We know that is the Great Commission. But during His ministry, during the three brief years He was with His 12, there was this occasion that He sent them out on their own, as it were, and that's what we're going to look at today, because this is what God has laid on my heart. So Mark chapter 6, verse 6 to 13, it says this, "Then He," that's Jesus, "went about the villages in a circuit teaching." And the very next verse says, "And He," that's Jesus, "called the 12 to Himself, and He began to send them out two by two, and He gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also, He said to them, 'In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city.'" Verse 12, "So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." And here's the part. Here's the part that really struck me this time that I just hadn't noticed before as I've read it over and over. Do you see how Jesus sent these disciples out? Do you see what He commanded in verse 8? He commanded them to take nothing for the journey. Don't take any change of clothes. No extra copper. Copper wasn't worth much anyway. Copper was for the poor folks. Don't take any copper in your money belts. Don't take any bread. Your tunic that you're wearing and your sandals, and go. With nothing, He sent them out. With nothing but what they had on. And here's what struck me. I asked myself, why did He send them out that way? And I've concluded a couple things as I have pondered this and as I have read through this. He sent them out. I believe He wanted them to go out as us. He wanted them to go out, number one, without their own agenda. They weren't depending upon the coin in their belt. They weren't depending upon the second set of tunic to keep them warm. They weren't depending upon bread, bag with clothes. I believe, number one, Jesus wanted them to go without their own agenda. Go out in Me. Not without your own needs and wants and whatnot. And number two, I believe he sent them out trusting completely and solely and wholly in him. You know, I'm thinking about taking a vacation too. And I'm not thinking about going with nothing. I'm not thinking about leaving with no money in my money belt or no second set of clothes or no bread. We plan, don't we? And yet Jesus told these disciples, he commanded, the Bible says, take nothing for the journey. And I ask myself, what's he asking them to do? And I ask us to ponder, what's he asking you to do? What's he asking this church to do? What's he asking the next church that maybe you're from or in our community today? I believe here's what he's saying. Go out on your journey in life, on your pathway in life. Maybe you're a pastor, maybe you're not. That doesn't matter in this regard, I don't believe at all. But when you go out, leave room for God to act. When you go out, don't go, Jim, with your own agenda, your own preconceived notions of what you should do and how you should do it, or the church should do and how the church should do it. I believe he's telling these disciples clearly to go out and leave room for God to do miraculous things. Don't take any food. Don't take any money. That would be unheard of for us to go someplace and not prepare. And yet he said, he commanded, don't take a thing with you but your staff. And I'm asking myself today, friends, and I'm asking us as churches, as bodies of believers, are we leaving room for God to act? Or are we too wrapped up in our own agendas, in our own businesses, in our own stuff, to let God act in and through us? In this church, I ask myself, are we so concerned about Jim's agenda? Or the board of directors? We're going to have a board of administration meeting today. Are we so concerned about our agenda that we have left no space for God? And I ask us that as individuals in our personal lives. If we know Him, if we've trusted in Christ as Lord, are we leaving space for Him to act and to lead? Are we trusting in ourselves? Are we trusting in our own abilities, our jobs, our school, our education, our position, whatever it is? Or have we gone into life like He sent them out two by two and commanded them, don't take anything with you? You know why? Because He said, I'm going too. And I've been asking myself this week, are we leaving space to God for God to act? He's not just talking to preachers here, brothers and sisters. He's not just talking to missionaries. These are, you know who these 12 were, fishermen and tax collectors. They are not the religious elite. They are not even the educated. They are certainly not the wealthy. These are just people listening to and obeying the voice of God. It boils down, it's that simple. You say, Jim, that's too simple. It is just that simple. They were willing to listen and obey the voice of God. He said, go. And they went. Don't take anything with you, because then your thoughts will be on what you've taken with you. Ordinary people, everyday people, listening to and obeying the voice of God. They didn't have their own agenda. Their agenda was the agenda that Jesus had for them. They didn't come up with a bunch of excuses. They are going out trusting in the Master who said, I'm sending you out, and go. Why? Why did he send them out this way? I've asked myself over and over. Why did he send them out? They didn't even have a Bible. Every vehicle I drive around, I got a Bible in it. My older ones. Some of them are a little raggedy. But I take Bible with me. I got Bibles at home. We got Bibles in the pews. We got Bibles on our coffee tables. We got Bibles. They didn't even have a Bible to take with them. They didn't have no money. They didn't have no titles other than follower and obeyers of Jesus. They didn't have no food. And I've been asking myself, why did he send them out that way? Why did he send them out with nothing? And along with that question, I ask myself and us, when was the last time we have just waited upon the Lord and gone completely, wholly, totally, with nothing except for what he has said? When was the last time we did that? When was the last time we said, God, show me. I'm gonna wait upon you until you show me what to do. As a church, as churches, as individuals, when is the last time we have said, God, I'm going to go in your power and your presence and your direction only. I'm not going with my agenda. I'm going with yours. When was the last time we've done that? As I have read through this, I've discovered and concluded that if our agenda for our life and our agenda for the church is not God's agenda, then it's not the right agenda. Do you see what Jesus told these followers to do, brothers and sisters? He commanded them to take nothing for the journey. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. Why? So they could see the hand of God. So they could see the miraculous, provisional, healing, cleansing, changing hand of God. That's why he sent them out with nothing. They were not going on their own credentials. They were not going on their own strength. They were not relying even on food, physical food. I believe he sent them out this way so they could rely totally on the hand of God in their lives. Totally and completely dependent upon him. When was the last time, I challenged Jim with this too, when was the last time we have encountered one day and said, I will give it totally and I will depend nothing about you, O God? When was the last time we that have called that claim the name of Jesus have done that? I won't go one day without you, Lord, without your direction. Brothers and sisters, if you claim the name of Jesus, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a plan for you. It isn't just preachers. I might have thought that for a while, but I'm going to clear that little matter up. Now that I am one, and Pastor Les can tell you, it is not just for pastors. If you know Jesus as Lord, he has a plan for you. That means we must trust in him like these disciples did that say, okay, Lord, you're sending us out. Tell me what to do next. That kind of dependence, that kind of surrender to him. We've got so much agenda attached to us, don't we? Whatever we do, oh, we got to do this and we got to do that and we got to do the other thing. And I'm asking myself today after reading this, is any of it God's agenda? Is any of it what we do in the church or what we do as individuals? And I ask myself on behalf of myself, my family, and the church, have I really been seeking the face of God in prayer and fasting? Are we just too busy with our own agendas? I think we got to ask ourselves those questions in the church today. Folks, there's a lot of people around us that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm not being judgmental. Please forgive me if it sounds like it. There's a lot of people around us that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. The Bible says clearly, enter in at the narrow gate. Jesus is the narrow gate. And if I think I'm going to get to heaven some other way other than my faith completely in the resurrected Jesus, I'm wrong, according to the Bible. And if I know Him as Lord, part of His plan for us is to tell the world there's good news and His name is Jesus. There are folks around us, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our churches, in our countrysides, there are folks around us who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not been born again. You say, Jim, I don't agree with that terminology. Well, that's Jesus' terminology. And He said to Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. We must be born again. And folks, like I said, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just saying there's folks all around us that need the good news of Jesus. Do we realize what God's agenda is for those folks? Do we realize what God's agenda is for those folks? It is that they would hear about the good news of Jesus. And He needs the church to do that. He needs us to tell folks the good news about Jesus. That's God's agenda. There are sick folks all around us. Our prayer focus has been long, week after week after week. There's folks with heavy hearts. There's folks in difficult situations. There's sick folks. There's folks with death sentences they've been handed. There's lonely folks around us. There's hungry folks around us. There's unemployed folks around us. There's struggling and hurting folks around us. There's folks in prison around us. Do we realize what God's agenda is for these folks? It's pretty clear in Matthew 25, when Jesus paints us that little picture, He gathers the nations together in the end times, and He separates them, the goats as it were on His left, and the sheep as it were on His right. It's pretty clear what He says to them when He says, "Come, thou you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God that was prepared for you. For, He says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And you know the story. They said to God, "When do we do that? When do we see you hungry, Lord Jesus? When do we see you in prison?" And you know what He said to them. "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." That's God's agenda. That's God's agenda for the church, to reach out in Christ-like love to the lost, to the poor, to the hurting, to the disenfranchised, to the homeless. That's God's agenda. This is not just about pastors or missionaries or evangelists, brothers and sisters, although it applies to all of us. This is about followers of Jesus. Are we leaving space for God? Are we leaving space for God to lead us in that pathway of righteousness for His name's sake? Are we leaving space for God to act through us, through you and I, through the churches? Are we leaving space for God to do miracles? These folks went out and did miracles. Why? Because they went on the strength and the power of the living God. They didn't go out with their own agenda. They went out trusting wholly and solely in Him. Are we leaving space for God to do miracles? Or are we just blowing that off and say that's not for America in the 21st century? We serve the same God that sent these people out. I've concluded personal agendas, mine included, egos and personal plans were not part of what Jesus sent these 12 people out to do. It was not part of what He sent them out to do. They had to depend on Him. What a blessed place to be! To depend upon the Father, the giver of life, the giver of eternal life. What a blessed place to be. Wholly dependent, breath by breath on Him. What a place to be. That's where He wants us to be. That's where He wants the church to be. Dependent upon Him. And so I'm going to leave you with this question again. Are we leaving space for God? In everyday living. In my marriage. In my relationship to my family and to my church family. Am I leaving space for God? In my business. To my boss, to my employees, whatever that relationship is. Am I leaving space for Him to lead and to direct? In decision making, we got a whole lot of young people here going on to college, going on to places. Am I leaving place and space for God in my decision making? So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. I like that. I really like that. Why? Because they left room for God. Because they left room for the Almighty. They didn't go out with their own agendas. They left room for the Heavenly Father. And I would encourage you today, brothers and sisters, one of two ways. Number one, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord, you need to ask yourself today, have I left room for God? Have I left room for Him in everything that I do? Because that's where He wants to be. He wants to be that close and intimate with us. Have I left space for Jesus? And if I don't know Jesus Christ as Lord today, you have to ask yourselves, how long am I going to go through life and take my chances? How long am I going to gamble that Jesus doesn't return tonight or I don't pass away tonight and then take my chances at the judgment seat of God? If I don't know Christ as Lord, I'm not ready for heaven. If I have not repented of my sin and invited Christ into my life to take over and surrendered it all to Him, the Bible says I haven't been born again. And Jesus made it clear, if I've not been born again, I'm never going to see the kingdom of heaven. We have to ask ourselves today, brothers and sisters, do I know that I know because I've invited Christ into my life, repented of who I was, and said, God, take over. I'm yours now. And if I have said that, is there something else that I need to say, God, that's been my agenda. Please forgive me for that. I want to do yours. I want us to think about those two questions. Am I still all wrapped up in my agenda? Or have I surrendered it all to the Heavenly Father and said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. If you want to pray about something, including giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be up here singing, but I'll be glad to pray with you to help you. If you don't know that you know, I'll be glad to pray with you. And if you know Him, then will you go out like these disciples went out with His agenda only?